My guest at this time is North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest. He joined us a couple of weeks ago to separate fact from fiction about House Bill 2. That's the law signed into law by Governor Pat McCrory that gives the state the sole power to establish public accommodation policy in the Tar Heel State and requires people to use the locker rooms and restrooms at schools and government facilities based on the sex listed on their birth certificate. Today we'll discuss some of the latest developments in this debate, as it has certainly not died down since our last conversation. And Lieutenant Governor, thanks very much for your time.
Well, Greg, thanks for having me back on.
Well, one of the things we certainly heard back when this bill was originally debated, passed, and signed into law was from the business community that some would pull out, some who were planning to come to North Carolina might change those plans. Other than a few concerts being canceled, have any businesses actually taken any steps to move or to change plans to move in, or has that been mostly smoke with no fire?
Well, yeah, there's been a couple. There's been some fire there. PayPal said they weren't going to expand. They had about a 400-person expansion set for Charlotte, and they said they weren't going to move forward with that. The irony of that is that they do business in 28 other states that have the exact same law that we do. And they also do business in countries like Saudi Arabia and Yemen and places where the LGBT community is actually persecuted and even put to death for their beliefs and behaviors. So, this is what I found is that this is really not an ideological battle, Greg. This is a political battle. They see or smell blood in the water for a campaign season that's coming up and culminates in November, and that's really what they're going after.
Do you believe that this is an issue that's a winning one for the left? Why else would they make that calculation?
Well, I think it's part of the game plan. You know, the Human Rights Campaign has a game plan. They've got tens of millions of dollars to spend. They love going into states like North Carolina that have a conservative governor, a conservative lieutenant governor, a conservative legislature, and trying to do some damage and trying to cause some harm. And, you can go down the checklist. So here's the way it works. You go into a city like Charlotte that has a new radical mayor that wants to push this ordinance and open up bathrooms to anybody, open up women's and girls' locker room and shower room facilities to any man that wants to walk in. And it's a pretty radical thing going on. They find that person. They tell them they're going to support them no matter what happens because they know that we're going to have to come back, and it was unconstitutional. They know we're going to have to come back and fix the law. And then they start to lawyer up, and then they go to all the people that have signed their petitions at the Human Rights Campaign and say, listen, you signed on to support us. You need to now go after North Carolina. And they hold these CEOs hostage because the CEOs that I've talked to don't want to go up against the lobby of the Human Rights Campaign. And that's very unfortunate, but they're being held hostage. And that's how the process works. These CEOs really don't know anything about the legislation. In fact, the irony of all of it is actually the reason that most of these companies have been coming to North Carolina is because of the leftist policies they faced in many of the states and cities that they're moving from to come to a place like North Carolina that has low taxes and a great business climate.
We're talking with North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest. And, sir, earlier this week, the story took on a new twist. I'm quoting from the Washington Post now. A federal appeals court in Richmond, and they're referring to the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, has ruled that a transgender high school student who was born as a female can sue the school board on discrimination grounds because it banned him or her from the boys' bathroom. In backing the high school junior, the Circuit Court of Appeals for the 4th Circuit deferred to the U.S. Education Department's position that transgender students should have access to the bathrooms that match their gender identities rather than being forced to use bathrooms that match their biological sex, essentially saying it's a violation of Title IX. What's your reaction to the ruling, and how does that ruling impact what the law actually is in your state right now?
Well, it doesn't yet. I mean, it really wasn't necessarily a ruling. This is one of those places where the ACLU and the Human Rights Campaign and the other leftists out there are claiming victory on something that's not a complete victory yet. What they did was send that back down to the lower court again to make a decision on it. And this is obviously Virginia, based on a Virginia case. It doesn't have anything to do with North Carolina right now. Could it have impact? Of course. And we certainly know that that's the way things are done in America today. The left can't win going through the right process and going through the legislative process and having a legislature vote on things and have a representative republic the way we're supposed to. They win through the courts. And so they've stacked all the courts, including the Fourth Circuit in Richmond, Virginia, with a bunch of liberals who are going to go their way. And so even the judge who is the majority opinion on that three-judge panel, two judges are for and one's against, that judge gets to pick his panel. So he stacks it to begin with. He knows which way it's going to go. And that's the same thing that happened with our marriage amendment here in North Carolina. So we end up facing this battle where the legislative process is being taken over by the judicial process, and they're legislating from the bench. So, yes, we always have to be careful and cautious about what's going to happen in the courts because we know we're going to continue to fight that battle until we do something about the court system.
Lieutenant Governor, what's your read on where this is likely to end up legally? Obviously, eventually, it's probably going to go to the Supreme Court. But in terms of what precedent shows here, folks on both sides of this debate suggest you might have a tough road given a case such as Romer v. Evans at the Supreme Court back in the 90s, in which they struck down a constitutional amendment in Colorado that suggested that you can't claim minority or protected status based on your sexual orientation. So do you have confidence that ultimately you can win this in the courts?
No, I mean, I don't think there should be any confidence there. Right now we have a divided Supreme Court. We're obviously 4-4, you know, at the national level now at the Supreme Court. And so, no, there really shouldn't be any confidence in that. I mean, we've known that based on marriage, too, with the marriage amendment. The Supreme Court also decided just a year or so before, you know, the Fourth Circuit, at least in our case, struck down our marriage amendment. The Supreme Court decided that that was an issue of the states, of state concern, that the federal government shouldn't be involved in that, and the court shouldn't be involved, that the state should decide. And so we saw how that turned around. So, no, there shouldn't be any confidence in our judicial system right now. And so who knows where it's going to go. But, you know, as I tell everybody, I said, you'll never do the right thing or you'll never do the wrong thing by doing what's right, right? So we have to continue to fight for what's right, fight to protect women and girls in their bathrooms and shower facilities and those kinds of things. And at the same time, work to make reasonable accommodation for anybody who is fearful of going into a bathroom. And that's what our law did in North Carolina. As it said, listen, if you fear going into a group bathroom for boys or for girls or whatever, then you can still, as you've always been able to, provide a single stall unisex facility, and that is reasonable accommodation. We've been doing that in America forever, and we will continue to do that in America, but the left and these folks with the human rights campaign, they're like a bunch of playground bullies. They don't want reasonable accommodation. They want a winner-takes-all approach, and the winner-takes-all approach says this small minority of folks better win or we're coming after you.
Follow up on that a little bit, because it was exactly where I was headed next. The reasonable accommodation, as you put it, or people who are just saying, just don't want to have this debate anymore, let's just have more bathrooms where only one person's in there at a time. That is apparently completely unacceptable to the folks pushing the transgender agenda. So what do you make of that?
Well, you know, it wasn't for years. It was very acceptable. In other states, it's been very acceptable. Other states have made that accommodation too, and it was acceptable. But again, this is not an ideological stance. This is a political stance. And so they're going to continue to fight it. So, yeah, I mean, that's very reasonable accommodation, not just for folks that are transgender, but for women who have been perhaps molested in a bathroom facility that fear walking into a group bathroom, for the elderly, often cases, certainly for parents with children. I mean, these are the kinds of things we've been doing for a long time. And again, what our bill said was this is the way it needs to be for public facilities and government facilities and in schools. But private businesses can do whatever they want. And that's one of the false narratives here. If people like a PayPal are saying we're not coming there anymore, they could do whatever they wanted with their bathrooms. Interestingly enough, PayPal still at their corporate headquarters still has men's room and women's rooms. But in Charlotte, they wouldn't have been allowed to do that. So based on the Charlotte ordinance. But now they can. We change it to say that corporations can do whatever they want to do. They can have the right to do whatever they want to do.
This issue, as if it needed any more oxygen, got some more on Thursday when Donald Trump was asked about it on the Today Show. And here's what he said on the issue of accommodation in general, but specifically your law as well.
You leave it the way it is. There have been very few complaints the way it is. People go, they use the bathroom that they feel is appropriate. There has been so little trouble. And the problem with what happened in North Carolina is the strife and the economic punishment that they're taking. So I would say that's probably the best.
Do you have any transgender people working in your organization?
I don't know.
No?
I really don't know. I probably do. I really don't know.
So if Caitlyn Jenner were to walk into Trump Tower and want to use the bathroom, you would be fine with her using any bathroom she chooses?
That is correct.
Okay.
Different issue, also a social issue.
You know, there's a big move to create new bathrooms. Problem with that is for transgender. That would be first of all, I think that would be discriminatory in a certain way. It would be unbelievably expensive for businesses and for the country. Leave it the way it is.
Leave it the way it is. You see how we finished it there. So, sir, they got the Republican front runner for the nomination right now, essentially taking the liberal line, not only on the issue of accommodation in general, but also siding with the Human Rights Campaign and others on reasonable accommodation. What do you make of that?
Yeah. Well, we actually tweeted back to Donald Trump today, just saying, are you saying that we should have kept the Charlotte ordinance rather than doing something about it, you know? And so we left the question up to him, because basically what his comment is saying is he doesn't know what's going on. He can't leave it the way it was. We didn't do anything. The governor, the General Assembly didn't do anything except for strike down the Charlotte ordinance. So the Charlotte didn't leave it the way it was. So to his point, Charlotte should have left it the way it was. That would have been possible, but they didn't. They did something against the law, unconstitutional, opened up all women's rooms, bathrooms, shower facilities, changing rooms to men, to anybody that wanted to walk in. And so we had to protect women and children. And so basically he's running off of the Human Rights Campaign narrative here, and he just doesn't know what's happened in North Carolina. We couldn't leave it the way it was because Charlotte is the one that didn't leave it the way it was. We had to fix what they broke.
Last topic, and this probably calls for more speculation than anything else, but with the marriage debate, it was obviously a prominent issue for conservatives and Republicans for many years, and then when the polls started to change, Republicans got quieter and quieter about it. What's your read on the party's position on this issue overall? Is this an issue where you think most Republicans are standing strong with you, or do you worry that they're wobbly on this?
Not from what I understand, I think most people are standing firm on this. I don't think this is a real complicated issue as far as the bill goes. The unfortunate part is the narrative that the media is painting, and you know, not just the Human Rights Campaign and the ACLU and other leftist organizations like that, but the media is complicit in this, and they choose not to speak the truth about it, and not to tell people that, hey, what happens in North Carolina is the same thing that happens in 28 other states and the federal government, and we gave businesses complete freedom to do whatever they wanted to with bathrooms. It's just a false narrative. So my gut is that Republicans in North Carolina will stick to their guns and hold steady on the bathroom issue.
We'll certainly be following. And thank you, sir, again, very much for spending the time with us. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me on. Hope you have a great day.
You too, sir. North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.